Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermons throughout Holy Week have focused on the finality of Easter. So on Thursday night, we looked at the final meal. On Friday, the final moments. And today on Easter Sunday, the final victory of Jesus over death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful celebration of Easter, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We pray now that you bless us as we receive that news into our hearts and minds and as we live in response to it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is your greatest ever victory? Perhaps it was a game you played, a competition you won, a sports final, a raffle, a contest, an argument. What was your greatest ever victory? Mine's fairly simple. It's the Adelaide Lutheran B-grade premiership in 2011 against Elizabeth at Kilburn Oval. I won't bore you with the details, but if you ask me sometime, I'll bore you with as many details as you like. But what is your greatest ever victory? Might be something in your work life, your family life, something in voluntary service. There are many kinds of victories, many kinds of achievements. You might have achieved something even better than a B-grade premiership, perhaps. It's interesting how all of our achievements and all of our victories and all of our human successes pale into insignificance when compared to the victory of Jesus Christ over death on Easter Sunday. They don't even come close, do they? They're not even in the same category. And yet, the joy and the satisfaction and the gratitude we experience over human successes does give us some small sense of what the first Christians experienced as they came to believe that their Lord Jesus was risen from the grave. This is the victory to end all victories, the achievement above all achievements. And it impacts us, it impacts our heads, it impacts our hearts, it impacts our lives. It's a victory over the grave. Firstly, I want to look at how it impacts our heads. In many ways, the victory of the resurrection of Jesus is a victory over our heads. Both because it's beyond our human comprehension and we don't fully understand it, and also because it's something that brings into question our natural thought patterns and our natural way of understanding things. The resurrection is a hard thing to accept rationally, and it was for the first believers too. We might be tempted to think that it was a lot easier for them than it is for us. They were there, they saw different things. Plus, they weren't so scientifically minded as we are today. They maybe expected miracles, expected healings. Why not a resurrection? But it's not quite that simple. The people who came to believe in the resurrection of Jesus did so through hardship and heartache and very serious reflection on Scripture and on the evidence they found and on the interactions they had. It wasn't actually an easy process for them. No victory is ever easy. The resurrection challenges all people because it calls into question our expectations and the way we think about things. And our worldviews, and that's partly the point. This is different. This is new. This is unlike anything else. A recent survey of Australians suggested that 44% of them believe in Jesus' resurrection in some sense. I think that's quite remarkable, quite encouraging too. The flip side was that half of those surveyed did not even believe that Jesus of Nazareth was an actual historical figure, which is even more remarkable. Given the amount of evidence, not just in the Bible, but outside the Bible, for the existence of Jesus of Nazareth. I sometimes tell my confirmation students that there's probably more evidence that Jesus existed than that you exist. That's just the weight of evidence for the historical Jesus. Now, Mary's the first one to examine the evidence of the resurrection, and initially it's interesting that it really sends her into a tailspin. They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. Her first response is confusion. It's uncertainty. her mind boggles. And so she heads off and tells John and Peter, and their first response is quite similar. As they run to the tomb, and as John outruns Peter, he's not going to let that victory go unmentioned. John outruns Peter, and John says, once he views the evidence, he says he believed. But he also says that they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. It's interesting. They'd been told multiple times that this was going to happen. And yet John comments that up until that point, they didn't get it. It hadn't sunk in. It hadn't made sense to them. They hadn't been able to get it inside their heads. There are limits, serious limits to what the human mind can grasp. And so the resurrection, in one sense, is a victory over our heads, but it's also a victory over our hearts. Mary remains outside the tomb, and what does she do? She weeps. She cries. She does what any of us should do, what's natural to do when confronted by the reality of death and the cruelty of death and by the apparently desecrated tomb of her dear friend. She weeps. She grieves. She's overcome with emotion. She's heartbroken. And God gives her the space to be. God's not unkind. He's not uncaring. He's not unfeeling. Jesus wept, remember? Right before the resurrection of his friend Lazarus, and now Mary weeps. Right before she hears news of the resurrection of her Lord. Mary is a good example of the various emotions, the highs and lows of following Jesus. And just as there are limits to what our minds can grasp, so there are limits to what our hearts can handle. And just as Mary is reaching her limit, she's interrupted. Interrupted. Woman, why are you crying? The angels say. Isn't it obvious? Who is it that you're looking for? The strange man says. Isn't it obvious? She pleads with him to tell her where Jesus is. Give me some direction, some hope, something to grab hold to in the midst of my grief. And he says to her, Mary. One word. Mary. And she says, teacher. In an instant, her grief turns to joy. She's interrupted by joy. She's surprised by joy, as C.S. Lewis writes. Surprised by the joy of Jesus' presence. The resurrection is a victory over our heads, but it's also a victory over our hearts, as it invites us to believe that grief and sadness and crying and pain do not get the final say in the human experience. There is more to life than meets the eye, and there is also more to life than touches the heart. You know, we talk about following our hearts. It's a very modern human way to talk. The prophet Jeremiah once said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Guard your hearts, sure, protect your hearts, express your hearts, pour your hearts out to God, but don't follow your hearts. Jesus calls us to follow someone far better than our own hearts, someone who knows us by name, someone who interrupts us with kindness and joy, someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. Someone who knows everything that's in our hearts and loves us all the same. So much so that he died and rose again for us. Because we have a special place in the heart of God. The resurrection is a victory. It's a victory over our heads. It's a victory over our hearts. But finally, it's a victory over the grave. The last great enemy is death, St. Paul says. St. Paul knew it. Mary knew it. Peter and John knew it, and you and I know it. Even if we sometimes try to soften the experience of it. The last great enemy is death. Death remains the one great force in our lives over which we have very little control, and from which there is usually very little coming back until now. Mary races back to the disciples to tell them, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. You know, it's such a humble proclamation of such an incredible victory. The victory over the grave. We may not always think or feel like people of great success, people of great achievement, people of great victory, people who have done wonderful things. In fact, many people go through life feeling quite the opposite. But the enduring message of Easter is that His victory is our victory, that He comes to challenge our minds, but also to guide and direct them. That He comes to challenge our hearts, but also to soothe and heal them. The enduring message of Easter is that His victory is our victory. His triumph brings our spoils, gives us hope, interrupts us with joy. That His win makes a crown come on our heads. That His achievement means a joy in our heart. And so we can say with St. Paul, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your final victory over death. We thank You that Your victory is also our victory, and that all other victories and achievements pale into insignificance when compared with the wonder of Easter. Lord, interrupt us with Your joy and kindness, and fill us with the hope of this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.